What is most peculiar, at least at first glance, in this week's parsha, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to reveal the sources of bracha, of blessing, even visions of a glorious future of Am Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, through the strangest of sources, or certainly the most unexpected one. The Torah says, as Bilam, the Navi, the prophet, who tries to curse, to do in Am Yisrael, as a shliach, the messenger of Balak, the Torah says as follows, the statement, the words of Bilam, are almost poetic, poetically beautiful, praiseworthy, with regards to their visions of Am Yisrael. Ne'um shomea imre'el, the words of the one who hears the sayings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, referring to Bilam himself, asher machazei Shaddai yechazeh, who sees the vision of Shaddai, continues Bilam, yizal mayim midalyav vizaro b'mayim rabim, just some of the words that he expresses, water shall flow from his wells, and his seed shall be by abundant waters. His king shall be exalted over Agag, and his kingdom shall be upraised, as Bilam declares words of prophetic future of Am Yisrael, a bright future, a glorious future for the Jewish people. And what is most strange is that all of these promises and hope of productivity come from the most unexpected source of all, from a Bilam, someone who we certainly would not hesitate to describe as a sleazy and certainly a shady character. Why is this? Why does the Torah choose to reveal our future, the brightness, the greatness, the gloriousness of Am Yisrael, through such a strange source? Human nature, particularly in the world that we live in, a world which breeds self-satisfaction, a world which is involved in indulgence, a world which subscribes itself to instant gratification, and a world as such, it is very easy, almost natural, unfortunately, for a person to become a pessimist, particularly when things don't go our way. We're not used to that. We like to have everything, and we like to have it now. And when that doesn't happen, all of a sudden it sort of doesn't fit in with the program that we envisioned. My little children, Kedahara, our youngest, are 7 and 4 year old. So when they come to me and they ask me for things sometimes, and I say no, which happens fairly often, they turn to me and their first reaction is, "Ugh, Abba, you're so mean." And I sit there and I think to myself, am I really mean? I mean, here I am. I work for a living to provide for them. I offer them shelter. I offer them the bare necessities of food, clothing, medical care, and iPods. And I wonder, why am I called mean? But in actuality, I'm not mean. But to their understanding, as little as they are, and unfortunately that kind of pattern of comprehension plagues us even when we get older, even when we develop in life, is because we're used to getting what we want. And when we don't, we have a tendency to see everything as if it's falling to pieces with a pessimistic eye. The Torah wanted us to appreciate the concept that David HaMelech in Tehillim had said and declared, Ki nafalti kamti. I can fall, but ultimately I will once again get up. I'll once again rise to greater levels, to greater comprehension. And what the Torah wants us to realize, Rabotai, is that there is always a lesson to learn. There is always the opposing reversal of fortune, by which regardless of how difficult, how trying, and how hardships face us, nonetheless, there is always the ability for us to overcome. Not only to overcome, but to rise to greater opportunity. And therefore, the Torah brings us the biggest lowlife, the greatest shyster, Bilam, in what would seem to be the most unfortunate consequences that he is trying to curse B'nai Israel, to do us in, to destroy us, to debase our entire foundations. And yet even a Bilam becomes a source of bracha. The Torah gives us a source of comfort. Even a Bilam can provide us with a vision for a future. This is why I believe the first declaration that we make as we enter the confines of the Beit Knesset is also revealed to us than none other than Bilam himself. As we enter the Beit Knesset in the morning, we say, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. How great are the tents of Jacob, the dwellings of Yisrael, of Israel. And once again, it's very strange. Why should this be our first initial reaction as we enter a Beit Knesset in the morning? We should utter words from a Rasha, from a Bilam, particularly when we come in to pray to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is it proper for us to remind Hashem of words which were uttered and proclaimed? Yes, their bracha, but by none other than the villain, than Bilam, whose intentions were clearly to destroy us. Rav Shlomo Aviner explains that even Bilam, in his rishut, in his wickedness, immersed in a mission of destruction, recognized at some point that, you know, you can't argue with the fact that B'nai Yisrael have tzniut. They are a modest people. Rashi says, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, shepitcheyem eina mechuvanim ze laze. Bilam realized that the tents of B'nai Yisrael, the openings to the tents, did not face each other in a sense of modesty. One could not see from their home into someone else's. Even in the pinnacle of klala, a desire to curse, to destroy, Bilam HaRasha is forced to say a bracha. Because you cannot argue with the fact that there is some sort of recognition. A recognition of tzniut, a recognition, therefore, and declaration, and the consequence of bracha, of blessing, of praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that positives appear before us, and they are reason in themselves to give praise. And therefore, that is precisely when we enter the Beit Knesset, the shul in the morning, to David, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all know that there are many things that we can complain about. We all know that there are many reasons for us to despair. And we all know that there is much to be desired with regards to our spiritual achievement and our spiritual goals. Yet we declare upon entry, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. Even a Bilam can utter a bracha. We are not done. There is a vision for a future. The bracha, the blessings that can bestow themselves upon us, can arrive even from the most unexpected sources. And therefore, the Matovu ohalecha Yaakov is meant to train us to recognize, to appreciate, and to accentuate the positives, the blessings, the bracha, that are so obviously in front of us, but unfortunately at times we make them so unrecognizable. I had an additional experience last night. As I was about to retire for the evening, I got into some kind of heated discussion with my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter is going through a very strange stage of existence. It's called teenager. 16 years old, And in typical teenage fashion, she got angry at me for some reason. Lord knows why. I'm always right. I never do anything wrong. I'm not sure what disturbed her. But in so doing, in his fit of anger, she screamed at me. Well, I was very upset about that. And in typical parental fashion, I did what a parent was supposed to do. I yelled back. And after I yelled back, I sat down and I went through the exact introspect that every parent does as well. I started to remind myself that yelling back to her was useless. It was self-defeatist. It certainly did not serve any purpose, and it certainly was not productive. And as I'm contemplating the mistakes that I made, asking myself how I could become a better parent, why aren't my children perfect? Why do they get angry at their parents? Something that clearly should never happen. She came back to my room, she knocked on the door, and she opened the door and she said, "Abba, I want to apologize. I'm sorry for getting angry at you." And I said to myself, everything was worth it. To hear those words, to have a child, regardless of how many difficulties and hardships and obstructions we have with relationships, with communication, with misunderstandings, to have a child come back and say, "I'm sorry, I realize I was wrong." Great is us who can appreciate small things in life. It's not by chance, Rabotai, that this girl's name, this 16-year-old name, is Bracha, blessing. The Bracha of Matovu Alecha Yaakov is present. It's prevalent in our families. It's prevalent in our communities, in our kehilot, in Am Yisrael, and yes, even in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes it comes from the most unexpected places. And this week's parasha reminds us to cherish them, to find them, to embrace them, and to accentuate the ultimate experience of what we are supposed to have in facing our Creator every morning. The great opportunity that we have to become the optimist by stating, "Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael, Shabbat Shalom."